to be thankful for. And I love you is not enough to express my love. Everything I have inside of me, Lord, I give to you. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do but worship you. Yes, Lord, I love to worship you. You have given me so much to be thankful for, and my express my love. So everything I have inside of me, Lord, I give to you. And there is nothing more to do. Lord, there's nothing more. There is nothing more to do but worship you. Worship you.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
Share with young people, and one is first to ask God for faith, ask God to show you, and if you want faith, to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and teach you. The next thing I would say is step out into the Jordan, take a step toward God, and every time we take a step in obedience toward God, I think he shows up in spades.
I think you're right. Like Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who I had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times and reading his book, The Power of Positive Thinking, he said at the end of his life, he goes, well, I think the whole of it is that we're here to learn faith. We're here to learn faith. Well, if you think about it, even in a practical sense, you've saved some money and you go out to buy a piece of land. Now, you may lose your shirt and you may lose your money, or you take a chance. And in the book of Revelation, he says God has no joy in the timid soul, or the fearful soul. Everything, and it says it is written that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Yeah. Nothing happens here. That's why the people that are the chance takers are the ones that succeed, instead of those who hold up in that hide in a cave and know neither victory nor defeat. And what a horrible life. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that wrote that, or was it, maybe it was FDR? I forget.
That was another book that I should have read that I never read.
What? Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah, right. So, but we say this a lot on Thursday, which is there's always risk involved.
Yes.
Always.
Always risk involved, because you have people who will come in to the church and they'll be sitting in the back of the church, and you know that they came for a reason. Right, they didn't just randomly come there. They had some issue that they were dealing with. And so the question is, are they going to have the courage to get up out of the chair and come forward?
Right.
And you try to do whatever you can to make them feel comfortable and at ease. But ultimately, the Lord gives them the freedom to either stay in the chair or come forward to the altar. Mm-hmm. But that, just that simple motion of getting up out of the chair and walking to the altar is a critical moment for them.
It's an act of faith.
It's a step forward, and it can be a small step.
But I'll tell you this also. I went to your church for the first time, I don't know, when was it, a few months ago, whenever it was, and I was greeted with warmth. Yeah. There have been some churches and there's no warmth. And that made all the difference. Yes. You know, you're welcome here. You know, dignity.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden you can let down your guard, you sit down and know that I'm welcome here.
So, and
that's a very important job, the person who greets.
There, the Holy Spirit is very, very alive and well at St. Paul's. And with that has come a great love and appreciation of all the people who go there. And so there is a commitment. We have a huge commitment to one another, to build one another up. And I think it is very natural for everybody I know at St. Paul's to be that welcoming person. I think it's the Holy Spirit just takes over.
Yeah.
Just takes over.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I remember specifically the way I was greeted. It just changes the whole recipe. You know, the way you're feeling, comfortable. And then that person's going to sit down and be far more inclined to realize, to feel that you're in a safe room.
You create an environment for where healing can take place that much more easily. It's to have an open heart and to receive. Lord, I feel your love here in this place. And so whatever fear and anxiety that they came in with, you hope and pray that it's at least less so that they can, once again, so that they can receive.
Also, you're not playing church. In other words, like I've been at your church a number of times now and you know, the healing services, you'll say, oh, Rhett was saying this, and it's like a conversational. Well, I've always thought that if you go with the rabbis and you go to temple, it's like they will tell you the only stupid question is the question you don't ask. Mm-hmm. And we've fallen into playing church sometimes instead of saying, you know, maybe the possibility somebody can actually raise their hand. And you have to watch out for the interruptions, but at the same time, you know, kind of like weaves. You know, we can't be stuck in a format or a formula. Just like, you know, somebody, Aunt Roberta was healed miraculously of cancer when we said this quote. Now they're going around saying that quote with everybody. It's not, no, he's you can't put God in a box.
Yeah.
Every situation is different. And
if only it was that easy, you know, that you just say a formula.
Dun, 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 pop now, goes to God. No, right.
But one of the things, and I think Pastor John would reiterate this, that we have found is that God keeps giving us new revelation, new nuggets, new things to build on. So we'll get one thing and we'll think, okay, this is clearly from the Holy Spirit. This is clearly from God. And we're going to move in this, and then God will add another layer and another layer and another layer to the point where, you know, you really are beginning to realize that everything he is adding, he's downloading, he's dropping in my mailbox, literally it feels like that. And then we share is it's equipping a number of people in our church to really serve in the area of healing. So,
well, you know, a couple of years ago, I remember I kind of got, I guess, like I just couldn't live up to it. And I said, you know, I got to tell you something, Jesus. I don't know if I want to go to your heaven. I said, because if the angels are like, you know, kind of firm and not nice or warm, blah, 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 this and other people, and I just can't, I don't want to spend eternity with religious people or religious angels or something. So I went to bed that night. Now, so I woke up the next morning, and I know it really was him because I picked up a little tiny Gideon's Bible. I can't read anything without glasses, and I don't think I had my glasses. I was like, well, this is amazing, and I'm reading it. And so it's right to that page, and it said Jesus was having was eating with his disciples, sitting on the grass. And up come these Pharisees, and they said, Rabbi. So they honored him. They called him a rabbi, teacher. Rabbi, your disciples are eating with unclean hands. And he looked at them, and so I think God kind of breathed on it, because all of a sudden I started to laugh, because I could see the way he was looking at them. He said, you follow the precepts of man, not God. What goes into a man's body and comes out the other end does not defile a man, but what comes out of his mouth defiles a man. You follow the precepts of men, not God. And I went, you're talking to me about what I was saying last night. You don't want religious people in heaven either. And I was like, oh, okay. You get it?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. Yes.
So he answered that prayer. And, you know, so that's my little walk with the Lord. I'm at that level. Somebody might be listening to this broadcast and go, I don't understand what he just said, but I'm not ready for that. Or somebody else might say, oh, I see. Yeah. Hmm. You know, and then it's just, you know, so we're all, this is in response to what you were saying, that we're all moving along.
Yes.
And we all have our own. It's a relationship.
Yes.
And he doesn't want us to go starting a religion because it was religious people who killed Jesus. He wants us to have relationship. You know, people go into this tithing thing, like you're going to give to the, you know, the people have abused it on TV and start, give money and God's going to give you money back. Sometimes you do get money back. But the whole point of it where he says, test me now. He says, you are cursed with a curse because you have not brought meat into mine storehouse. Bring the first fruits in and let there be meat in my storehouse and see if I'll not pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. It's the only place where he says, test me now herewith, the increase of your first fruits. So whether it's money or circumstance or something, all of a sudden, you know, you give and then you see something come along. And all of a sudden, you know, you save a lot of dough in making a purchase. How did that happen? Or maybe a check comes in the mail you weren't expecting, whatever it is. But the point is, it's not about the money. It's about him giving you a hug and saying, see, I'm here.
Right. Yeah, and I think what you're getting at is that it's not about the religious practice so much as it is about your relationship, exactly. Your heart for God. And so what's interesting is St. Paul's, in many ways, if people were to come, they would see, oh, it's very traditional in many ways, right? So it kind of looks and sounds like a Catholic church in many ways, and we have a set liturgy that we follow. So in some ways, it appears religious in some people's eyes who've come out of more free church traditions where, you know, you just sing five songs and then you have the pastor's message and then everybody goes home.
And everybody's done their duty, their perfunctory duty, but in no way connected with a living God.
Well,
at times.
And on, yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions towards anyone because there are religious people in every church, right? But the key thing is so we practice.
It's funny, there are religious people in every church, and that's a pejorative term.
Well. And so we want them, as you're saying, we want them. Religion is not always bad. I mean,
no,
right? It's we love holiness. We love the holiness of God. We love any religious practice that brings people into a closer relationship with Jesus.